Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Put our quiet time at the end of this, and we're going to pray together as a family at the end and have some specific time of prayer. So I'm going to jump into it, and then we're going to have some personal worship and reflection and corporate prayer together. Before I dive in, I want to say there's a few people whose faith is inspiring to me that whenever I'm around them, they may not know it, but it just does little things for my heart. And every morning, a little before 10, Darlene Schindler comes walking in, and it's usually me, her, and Andrew in here. And Darlene, I just love it. I love that you're faithful and that you've served the Lord for many years and that you've worshiped for many years. And I asked her, I said, you know, are you getting out and about very much? I've noticed that you're always here. She goes, I don't get out and about as much anywhere else, but I'm going to be here to worship. And I said, well, why is that? She goes, I just love it. Isn't that a great response? And then on the flip side, there's other people that I actually see out and about in the community, but don't come to church, which I'm not judging. I'm just saying it's interesting. And that's the kind of faith that inspires me. Like, I got to get to the house of God. I want to be there. I love that, and I'm not going to miss it. So I love to see that, Darlene. It's, you build my faith. And if we didn't have that, if the body of Christ wasn't getting together, we couldn't be there to encourage. We couldn't be like iron sharpening iron. We couldn't be there to inspire and speak words of life to one another. When we live disconnected, we miss out on so much that we could have whenever the body of Christ is together. Please do not treat the body of Christ with so much casualty like I could take it or leave it, like I don't need it. We need it. We need one another. We're not meant to live in isolation. We're not meant to live disconnected. We are meant to live together as one. The arm cannot live disconnected from the rest of the body. Your head cannot live disconnected from the rest of your body. I've tried it. I run around with my head cut off sometimes, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It has to live all together. So please have the same passion that the Lord has for his bride. We should as well, and for the bride to be together, for the bride to worship together. We are in a fascinating time in America, and one of the things that we have recently done here as a church is we've come out with a statement of faith pertaining to vaccinations. Perhaps you are in a job, and they may require it or strongly recommend it. And if you want to have the vaccine, great. If you do not, we actually have a statement of faith, and you can object for religious beliefs or purposes. Just see the church. We can get that to you. Andrew's the one to see. But you might say, you know, because of religious purposes, I opt to abstain, and you have constitutional right for that. So make sure that you are executing your rights. No one can mandate what they're going to pump into your bodies. And so you can utilize this statement of faith. We have that. Come see Andrew for that. All right. We've probably seen a lot of what's going on in Washington, D.C. recently. But maybe we don't know what's going on inside the building. And Todd kind of put me on to this yesterday as far as it might look like rioting around the building, and there definitely have been, right? There's 25,000 troops in Washington, D.C., some of our own, right? Tom was telling me as the National Guard has been called in, you know, we only have 2,500 troops in Iraq. But we have 2,500 troops in our capital right now to protect ourselves. It's fascinating times that we have. This is what's going on around. But what's going on inside, and Todd put me onto this, is there's been worship sets and worship, like just constant worship going on. One video I saw was the Bethel church, Bethel worship leader, Sean Foy. It had Brian and Jen Johnson, Carrie Job, her husband, Cody Carnes, Eddie James, White House aides, White House pastors, Paula White, Danny Gogi. He's the singer from We Are Messengers. He's the one that had the kind of like the main theme song for The Shack. Michael Tate from DC Talk and Newsboys. These are people that are sending out worship to the Lord, crying out for God to come to our country and to save our country. I want to show this video clip here and to show you what's going on inside the White House. I could just kind of hang there for a minute. The presence is so rich. The presence is so good. And this is what Sean Foyt said. He said, "We were invited by this administration to worship inside the White House today. Let this sound give you great hope for America." Sometimes my hope wanes and my hope shifts, and I'm trying to figure out God. My God is the master storyteller. What are you penning here? What are you writing in American history? And I want to kind of get my mind where your mind is and my thoughts where your thoughts are, and I want to think with the mind of God and not just the opinions of the talking heads. I want to make sure that the news that I'm getting is from the throne room, and that I'm auditing the noises that are coming in, right? How many of y'all know that your mind is the battleground of the enemy? And if he can sneak in and he can create doubt, suspicion, he can thwart conviction, and he can shift peace in the inner man, he will throw a party inside of your mind. He will throw anarchy inside of your spirit to where you question God. And it could happen in your own home, in your own house, not just the White House, to where you get rattled and you don't know who you are because you don't know who he is. And I want to say that the God supreme reigns over the United States of America. And that we're not confused on this. And that worship will continue to go from our house to the church house to the White House and declare that this is a godly nation. Until God says otherwise, which I haven't clearly heard, and hopefully you haven't either, we're still on mission to live out the purposes and the passions of Jesus Christ. None of that has moved or shifted. Whether we see godlessness running rampant in the streets, we, as the people of God, have to live unmoved. Anybody with me? Unmoved by what goes on outside, because my faith is not dictated by situations and circumstances. It's not circumstantial faith. I'm resolved, I'm resolute, and I'm unmoved based upon what goes on around me, even if it comes down to the point of persecution to the church or to those believers. I feel a conviction in my spirit this morning. I feel a power from the Lord. Yesterday we had our men's group, and we were talking about just loving up on our neighbors and reaching people in our lives, and it ended in prayer for our nation. I felt the Holy Spirit come upon me, and it went from a nice, cute prayer, let's all bless each other, to come on, let's intercede, and let's go to the heavens, and let's call down God upon our country again. It went to another place. Some of y'all know that you can engage the presence and have these holy groanings where you're partnering with the Holy Spirit in prayer. That's where we need to go. That's where we need to get to. And I believe that that's where God wants to take us as the people of God. Not to get fired up and we're all, you know, high-fiving each other for good church attendance, but to where we as the body of Christ, we come together, we're beseeching heaven, we're hanging in the presence, we're saying, God, we need you, we need breakthrough. Nothing else matters other than having your presence and the power of God over our nation again. That's where we get to, and it's non-negotiable. We're not negotiating with the enemy. I love America. We don't negotiate with terrorists, and we don't negotiate with hell. We say, this is going to be God's home. This is going to be a godly marriage. God's going to reign over my kids. God, this, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we start making declarations of faith that are unmoved, even if persecution comes knocking. And we no longer have a seat at the table. And maybe you get discriminated against at your job because you don't follow the script. I don't know what it's going to look like. But I know what's going on inside of me. And that's what I've got to be committed to, is the voice of God and living in obedience to what he's called me to live. If you got your Bibles, flip with me to Daniel chapter 6. And we're going to look at a man who faced an ungodly government, and he decided to live with the convictions of Jesus Christ. One of the books that I want to reference, and I'm going to often this morning, is this book by E.M. Bounds on prayer. This is The Complete Works of E.M. Bounds. E.M. Bounds is noted in church history as one of the biggest men of prayer whenever it comes to hanging in the presence. This book was gifted to me by my pastor in 2004, and he wrote this inside of it. Brock, if you become anything in ministry, become a man of prayer. I don't know if those words have ever rang more true than they have this past week. As I am going to the courtroom, to the throne room, into the heavenlies, and asking God to break through in our nation. E.M. Bounds says this, faith thrives in an atmosphere of prayer. Atmospheres are huge. Atmospheres are game changers. On Friday night, Madison Grant played Frankton. If you know what it's like to play in Frankton, the horseshoe with a stage on the one side, it's an awesome gym. But Frankton brings the crowd, and as good as we've been playing, we would have brought a crowd. And they got their drums in there and their clashing cymbals. I mean, it's crazy to play at Frankton. But nobody's allowed to come to the games. The atmosphere totally shifted, and it was dead. It was like playing in a library. And we went in and won convincingly. How many of y'all know that the teams could be equal, but the atmosphere could lean to one side. When the atmosphere shifts, all of a sudden you step into a whole nother thing. The crowd starts cheering. I'll tell you, faith can get inspired when the atmosphere is ignited with the power of prayer. And people, I want us to not devalue the importance of a praying bride and of a praying church. That we would say, God, you know what? We might not ever have influence over our country as far as major players in the Senate, the State House, the White House, but we have major influence in the heavenlies. And that's where all authority comes from. And so, God, we're going to exercise that authority and say that the fervent, effective prayer of righteous men and women availeth much. And that's where we're going to deploy our authority in the heavenlies. We're going to go for it. We're going to go for it. And you're going to go for it over your kids and fight for their salvation. And you're going to go for it over your marriage and believe God that he's going to intervene where it seems like there is no way. He's going to do something supernatural. That's the God that we serve. And if we don't go to him in prayer, either A, we don't have faith that he'll do anything, or B, I don't know, we just forget, or unfortunately C, we're just disobedient. It's like, God, I know you called me to do this, I just won't. Oops, forgot. Or I do remember, but I just don't have faith that you'll do anything with it. And I want to inspire some faith this morning and inspire some obedience, that we'd be people who get after this. Ian Bounds also says this, nothing is hopeless to prayer because nothing is hopeless to God. He says this, God's purposes move along the pathway made by prayer to their glorious designs. And I don't know about you, but if I could partner with God in anything, I hope that his purposes move down the pathway. The automobile that's moving God's purposes forward would be my prayer life. I'll say, God, let your purposes be established as I pray them through. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, starting in verse 14, it says this, if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. This morning I want to talk about the characteristics of God as he is all-powerful in the face of lions. As we look at the story of Daniel. You know, I've thought about often writing a story like Daniel, and if I could kind of rewrite that story, maybe either the title or maybe a couple of chapters of the title would be Daniel, the man who walked with angels and slept with lions. Oh, come on, y'all know that's a good title right there. He walks with the Son of God in the fire. Y'all remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They throw them in there and says, I thought we threw in three. Oh, there's a fourth, and it looks like the Son of the gods, right? He walks with angels as they hang with him in the lion's den. He sleeps with lions all night. What kind of a guy is this? Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, it says, it pleased King Darius to appoint 120 government officials to rule throughout the kingdom, three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The governors were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Daniel was so distinguished in himself among the administrators that by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the entire kingdom. At this, the administrators tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they couldn't. He's so far above all of them. The king turns the keys over to Daniel, and they're trying to find a flaw, and the man has no flaws. So they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. This brings us to our first P, and it's the P is persecution. Daniel is about to get squeezed out because of his love for the law of God. Government corruption is nothing new. It goes clear back to the day. And here's Daniel, a man who lives above reproach, and corrupt people are saying, we know how this game works in politics. Let's find his dirt, right? What's going on right now, from what I hear, and Todd was also sharing this, is that there's so much being exposed on either side, right? Governor says, I know all of your dirt. Senators say, I know all of the stuff that you're in. And we're about to expose each other. Like high-level officials, inside information, all of this sort of stuff. And here's the same thing that's going on in Daniel. We got to find some dirt on him and expose him because we want him to go down. Why? Because he's ascended to such a height. And the thing that sets him apart is his passion for the Lord. So here we go. So he's going to get his faith thrown into the furnace here and see what happens. I just want to encourage you that if there are those moments where your faith is getting shaken by the world around you, can I just encourage you that God is with us in the furnace and he's with us in the lion's den. He understands the frustration and the fears and the furnace. He understands all of it for us to not live rattled, but for us to live resolved through it all. The points that I'm pulling out this morning are from Bob Sorge. He's got this book called Pain, Perplexity, and Promotion. Another great book. It really tells the story of Job. And Job goes through many things that God walks him through and brings him out on the other side, similar to what he's going to do in the life of Daniel. He keeps going here in verse 6. So these administrators went to the group, to the king, and said, may King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, advisors, governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human during the next 30 days except you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it into writing so that it cannot be altered into accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree into writing. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Nobody can pray to anybody except for me for 30 days. The next P is pain. Sometimes after persecution, the pain comes. And the pain is maybe it's some hardship. Maybe it's I'm going to make a stand for our family, and you know what? I might lose some friends. It might be a hard conversation. It might be I lose my job. Who knows what the things are if you make a stand for Jesus? People, I don't see the light getting brighter as much as I see the darkness getting darker. And I want to encourage us that now is the time for the light to shine brightest on the darkest of backdrops. When the backdrop is dark, the light can truly shine. The other night I was walking through here, through the church sanctuary at night, and it is dark, dark, dark. And I just flipped on my phone and didn't even have to flip on my flashlight. Just my phone lit up this place. If I would open my phone, it wouldn't make a difference right now. Whenever it's that bright. When it gets super dark, that little flame will shine bright. And I want to encourage you, in the places that you walk, shine, baby, shine. Shine that light. Because you're like a city on a hill. Don't put it under a ball. Set it on a lampstand so that everybody around can see that it would get light to those that are around it. I like Brad Stevens, coach for the Boston Celtics, former coach for the Butler Bulldogs. He has this phrase. He just says, pain is a part of the path. Pain is part of it. You want to get somewhere, you got this vision for who you want to be in business, you got to risk financial loss. You got to stay up late at night. It's painful. You got this vision of where you want to be in fitness, and you got to work out and say no to certain foods, and it's painful, right? That hurts. We don't like that. We stay away from pain. So then we'll just kind of, hey, I'm just kind of wishing and hoping and thinking and praying and hoping that someday I just become a stud. I just waltz into it. Ain't going to happen. Pain is the path many times. And I want to encourage us, don't hide from the pain. Oh, this is hard. I'm going to get squeezed. I'll just obey. I'll just kind of let's just all just be good and nice. And let's just all be neighborly and just kind of go this route. Let's play the script. Let's all be nice. I'll tell you, nice. You'll be really nice and cute on your way to losing the power and authority that God has given you. I'll tell you, there's times when the world needs a hug, and then there's also a time when the world needs a leader. There's times whenever you're home, we just need to hug each other. And there's a time when you need to lead. And there's a time whenever you just can't live and negotiate with things. We've got to lead. We've got to have people of conviction that are going to say, I'm unmoved on this. I'm not coming off of this one. We've got to have conviction as we lead forward. 1 Peter 3:9. How about this? I love this. Do not repay evil with evil or an insult with an insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you are called, so that you would inherit a blessing. What I like about this is that Daniel, he's told, you got to pray to this other god or to this other king. And Daniel's not starting riots, and Daniel's not lighting the city on fire. What Daniel does is he says, as soon as he gets this word, Daniel says, I'm not going to repay evil with evil, but what I am going to do is I'm going to go do good, and the best thing I possibly can do right now is to pray to my God. He hears what he shouldn't do, and he intentionally goes and breaks the law. That law, because it's an ungodly law. So he lives with this sort of conviction. He's not afraid of the pain. He knows what he's signing up for whenever he heads into his prayer room. He knows exactly what is coming. Check out verse 10. Now when Daniel heard the decree and it had been published, he went home to his upper room. Isn't it interesting? I can't pray to anybody. I know exactly what I need to go do. And he went to the window that opened toward Jerusalem. And three times a day he got on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. The next P is prayer. Daniel just tucks the towel and he gives it all to the Lord. He begins to get down on his knees before the Lord and begins to seek God. And I just want to say this. Church, Christians, now is not the time to fall asleep under ungodly law. As soon as Daniel hears this God-forsaking, God-denying law, he says, I got to break this law. I'm not complying. Conviction will not allow me to come into agreement with this law. Civil disobedience is biblical. And here's how Daniel responds. He does not cater to wicked law. We're not bending a knee to things that break the principles of God. Verse 11, then these men went as a group and they found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and they spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any other god or human except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law and the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. They said to the king, Daniel, who was one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree that you put into writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. So let's set these up. All of these governors are coming around. They're all on the same page. They all want to get rid of Daniel. Daniel's doing everything right. I'm just loving Jesus. I'm in charge of the kingdom because I've done it so well, and yet there's these governors that want to get rid of him because they don't want him to have religious freedoms. Interesting situation that Daniel finds himself in. You can pray, we'll tell you who you can pray to, but you can't have religious freedoms outside of this, and if you do, you get a spanking, and the spanking is the jaw of a lion. Sound like a nice government to live underneath, right? And I'll tell you, if you kind of play soft with, and you kind of negotiate with on the front level, it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper until all of a sudden the spanking is a lion's den. King Darius, he likes Daniel, and so he tries to find a way to rescue Daniel. I got to figure out a way. And he says that he stays up all night figuring out a way. Daniel, we sent out word. Maybe the email was a little finicky. The internet was a little finicky in the Middle East. Daniel, surely you got the message. Cell phone reception wasn't good that day. Daniel, please tell me, did you not get the message? Daniel's like, King, got it loud and clear. Totally heard you. I just have a louder voice that's speaking into me. People, another P is this, presence. When you live in the presence, other voices around you cannot be nearly as loud as the voice of God. And many times we get rattled because voices can be so loud and they can be convicting and you should do this and you need to be doing that and you need to change your stance on this and you need to soften up on that. I'll tell you, it's like, I can hear those the voices around, But there's a voice that's much louder that's screaming in identity of who I am and who he's called me to and the power and authority. I need to walk in on the planet. God's voice will come the more that you hang in the presence. The more that you hang on the television, you're going to hear all those voices. The more that you hang in on your news feeds, you're going to hear all those voices. And I'm not saying that we need to be clueless when it comes to the news. I'm saying that we need to be really, really sharp when it comes to the heart of God. And couldn't the body of Christ be so engaged with knowing God's heart and the next move for where he's at? We need to be about that. We need to double down, triple down on that. And to the degree that you need a breakthrough is to the degree that you press into it. If you don't need a breakthrough, you don't pursue it. But to the degree that you need only the supernatural power of God to break through is to the degree that you'll press in to getting that. Ian Bounds says this, units of prayer combined, like drops of water, make an ocean which defies resistance. And if I have my prayer, I just got a little bit of prayer, but it mingles with Bud's. And Bud's got a little bit of prayer that mingles with Bobby's. And Bobby's got a little bit of prayer that mingles with Carol. And Carol's prayers, and before long, we've got this cup full. And the whole church family, and Morris is throwing in his prayers. And before you know it, you've got a riptide of prayer that's moving through that you just can't easily push back. Ian Bounds says the collective prayers of the church are like an ocean that defies resistance. And people, the choice is ours, I believe, is we can sit here and be unmoved by prayer, or we can be a people that say, I got to engage in the power of prayer. Verse 15, then the men went as a group to King Darius, and they said to him, remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you. Y'all hear that? That is so funny. It is. It's funny. The king puts a decree out, says nobody can pray to anybody else. And the king says, Daniel, I sure hope your God comes through because he's the only one that can save you. Wouldn't it be awesome that in mid-sentence, God flips the heart of man? In the mid-sentence, everybody worship to me. Your God's the best one. Only your God can save you. And something begins to shift in this king's heart that Daniel begins to see differently. The next one here, and the king wanted to save Daniel, but he still executed the decree, is perplexity. You ever have questions where you're like, God, if you're that big, why couldn't you have saved? God, if you're that good, why couldn't you have prevented? God, if you truly are for me, why did this thing happen against me? Tess, I don't know why. I hate it, though. That we put our faith in this God that allows hardships to come our way. And the perplexity that could hit our hearts is, where was God when I needed him most? And the enemy wants to sneak in those moments, and he wants to throw a party inside of our spirits, and he wants to hijack and steal our gaze and our attention to where we focus more upon disappointments than we do on God being faithful and his breakthroughs. So now here's Daniel. God, I've only obeyed you. I've only done what was right. They put me to the test. They took me through the Supreme Court, and they couldn't find anything against me. And then I just prayed to you, and what you give me is now I'm surrounded by lions. That's how God rewards those who love him. And here we find Daniel in the midst of this situation. Been walking through it with one of our administrators in our nursing facility that's going through a divorce right now. And his wife is coming for his throat. I mean, taking everything. This is a guy that I've been witnessing to and building up his faith. And he's like, okay, I'm starting to see this. I'm starting to believe in this. And then boom, the whole bottom falls out. And he's like, yeah, sure. Yep, sure, God's good. Sure, God's there. I love Bill Lowe. He says, life was so good until I gave my life to Jesus. And he says that jokingly. Because he's like, man, all of a sudden I become a new man. Where'd all my friends go? I thought we were friends. You weren't around because you love me. You're around just because of the good time that I provide. If you truly love me, you'd love me whenever I walk through different seasons. I'm found the Lord. Obviously, now life has become really good for Bill. But you got to walk maybe through some of those lonely hardships. And so here we find Daniel. He's sitting alone in a lion's den. He's isolated. He's quarantined. And he's left to his own thoughts. And I don't know about you, but that can be a scary place. Whenever you're just sitting around, you're doing nothing, you got nowhere else to go, and then you're wondering, where's God? That can get very, very dangerous. And the only voices around you are pretty scary. It's the roar of lions. It's a pretty scary voice. Here we see Daniel. Verse 17. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, the rings of the nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace, spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him. And he could not sleep. And I'm just praying, would God make our persecutors restless? At the first light of dawn, the king got up and he hurried to the lion's den. And as he came near to the den, he called to Daniel in anguish. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue from the lions? And Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of lions that have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I done anything wrong before you, your majesty. Not only have I been good to God, but king, let me tell you about how I've served you. Let me tell you how I've been awesome to you and how you've responded back to me. Let me tell you that God is faithful through it all. And this is where the power of the presence comes in. And if people gave themselves to a season of prayer, I truly believe they would see the benefits and the breakthroughs that they want to see in their lives. I'm going to say that again. If people would truly give themselves to a season of prayer, we would see the benefits and the breakthroughs that God can do through prayer. The king was overjoyed. He gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den, and Daniel was lifted from the den. No wounds were found on him because he had trusted in God. This next P is protection. It's possible to go through the lion's den and not be wounded. It's the comeback story. It's Daniel, who seems like he's down and out, and yet he comes back because of the power of God breaking through when he needed it most. I'll tell you that this can be our story as well. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the lion's den is. I don't know where your faith has been rattled or shaken. I just want to encourage you to move towards the presence and towards prayer. I don't know what else our other option is, but people, I want to encourage us that prayer is the move. Finally, in verse 24, at the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. I want to encourage you, you want to be on the right side of history on this one. You want to be on the right side of faith on this one. If you miss it on this one, I don't believe that God's playing. And vengeance is mine, declares the Lord. It's not ours. We don't repay evil with evil. We repay evil with good. But God one day will. Don't miss this one. We do have this message, God is full of grace, he's full of love. I'm totally with you. But let's not ever take the scepter out of his hand. Because he is a just God. And the foundations of his throne is righteousness and justice. For himself, number one, and for his bride, number two. People, we gotta seek God. We gotta have our hearts clean. We gotta have our lives clean. We gotta have our homes clean. And we wanna see the power and presence of God come back to America again. We're going to pause right here just for a moment. And as we just kind of spend some time soaking in the presence, having some time of reflection, Pastor Andrew, we got this mic here as well. And if anybody is wanting to just to share a prayer, would you just raise your hand? And we want to get this so that we also got some people online that want to hear. And that we would pray. Maybe it's for our nation. Maybe it's for our government, senators, It's for the state house. Maybe it's for your own house. I don't know what those prayers are. But let us just spend a moment in some atmosphere of prayer and see if God would start moving in his church for that. Let's just pause here for a moment. Lord. Yes, God. Got a special family here. Tess, I see you got your family here. Who you got with you? Awesome. It's great to have you. Tess is the grandmother to Layton, mama to Casey Seals, and we've been praying for you and your family for maybe a month. It's been about a month. Probably the hardest month that anybody could walk through. Been praying. I want to overemphasize just America and where our country is in dire straits for a breakthrough, because there are every little individual situations that break through. We're just going to pray for breakthroughs right now. We're going to pray for the presence of God to hit our homes, our families, our marriages, our schools, our government, our law, our medicine, right? We need all of it. We need the kingdom to come to the earth. Jesus, we just ask you right now, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, for breakthrough. Breakthrough in every situation that we have. Breakthroughs that people are just needing. We're aching. Families that are just sucking wind right now, Lord, where we're just hurting and there's pain and we're perplexed. God, it hurts deep. And Lord, we need a breakthrough. God, we need you to come in and make a way where it seems like there is no way. God, we need you to bring peace to our nation again. Lord, we need godly law to reign and rule over our country. Father, we need our mothers and fathers to lead our homes under a biblical worldview. Lord, we need grandparents to come in and love up these babies, God, like they never have before, to show them a God who is fiercely and ferociously faithful to them. God, we pray that you would do something inside of our church where you'd give us hearts for prayer, where we would ache for prayer. We'd be hungry and thirsty for the presence. And Lord, we pray that we would see the kingdom of God come to the earth, to come to our town, to come to our state, and come to our nation. Lord, we ask, we seek, we knock. And Lord, we ask that you would answer by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.